All right, shall we begin our service this afternoon?
All right, praise the Lord, everybody full? Wasn't that awesome? So let's stand and let's sing 93. We gotta make sure we're all awake.
Bye. special song request? 273.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning bright seems all bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their homes beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
To prayer this afternoon, we do have some requests. I want to pray for Sister Joyce Klein. She was wanting to be here but unable to do so. So let's pray for her. Also for Ashley Parker. Continue to pray for her. And I know that there are a number of others. We've been praying for Wanda Halcomb in Michigan for arthritis. Also Sharon Rose in the Springfield area, suffering terribly with arthritis, and I know that there are others that are the same. Shall we stand then and bring these needs before the Lord? Praise God. Sister Penny, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, I just come humbly before you. I worship you and praise your holy name. Father, thank you that we can come into your presence. Father, thank you that you see everything and you know the end from the beginning, Lord, and I know, Father, whatever's in the end of a thing is going to be better. When you're in control, we just trust you, Lord, and submit these things unto you. Father, I just ask you, and first I praise you before I ask any more. I just thank you, Father, that you've been there for Ashley, Lord. And yes, to her blood pressure when it goes up, Lord, and the prayer of the saints, and it came down, Father, and we were rejoicing. Father, I pray that our rejoicing continues. And not what we see and the results of things, Lord, but what we know you can and have already done, Lord. Father, it is it's went up again, but the same God we trusted in, you are still there. You're not too, your arm is not waxed short, Father. I'm trusting you for this, but most of all, that you do a spiritual work in the hearts of my grandchildren, Lord. Whatever comes our way or anybody's way, Lord, that we grow stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we know there's nothing we can do of ourselves, Lord. Oh, we just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the ministers who have come out, Lord. I ask you to anoint them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Give them what we need, Lord, and I thank you for what's already been spread before us. It has been a table of splendor, Lord, and I thank you for that. I ask you, Lord, that you'll be with all the ones who have need in body. Father, you haven't forgot a one. This surgery upcoming, Lord, for our sister.
We know, Lord, your hand will be there. You will guide the surgeons. And Father, you will heal her as you made our bodies and you're able to put it back together again. And I thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for the hope you have given to each one of us beyond what we see. Father, we just thank you because we are looking at the things that are not seen. And we can hardly wait to see the manifestation of the sons of glory in your power, Lord, what you've done. And it's all for your glory, and I thank you for it, Lord. Oh, I just ask you, Lord, be with the songs and the ministers now as we go forward. Lead and guide them, Lord. Father, open our hearts to receive these messages, for the time is nigh, and Lord, now is the day and the time of salvation. Father, we just thank you and ask your blessing upon the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. All right, we have a ladies group now. I hope they are all together. Sister Vicki Moots, if you would come.
You did say the limit was 1 hour. Okay, well, this is an interesting topic, which hopefully nobody can relate to physically, but perhaps spiritually. The topic is spiritual hoarding. Are you a hoarder? Well, you may not be in the natural, but and you might even be repulsed at the very thought of it, but it's possible you may know somebody who has this problem. But what about in the spiritual? Are we spiritual hoarders? Well, let's find out. Before we answer that question, we need to understand what constitutes hoarding disorder. Hoarding disorder doesn't mean just that you're not able to keep up with your housework and keep everything neatly arranged, because there'd be a whole lot of us that have that problem, myself included. Anyway, what it means, according to the Mayo Clinic, is that the hoarding disorder is a persistent difficulty discarding or parting with possessions because of a perceived need to save them. As a result, excessive accumulation of items, regardless of value, occurs. And some people have trouble even throwing away such things as junk mail or old newspapers, worn-out clothing, empty food containers, and the list goes on. It often creates, this is a true hoarding disorder, it creates cramped living quarters that fills homes to capacity with stuff, resulting in narrow pathways that are winding through the house with stacks of accumulated clutter all around. And this, all of this puts them at risk for falling, because sometimes even the floor itself gets covered with items like old clothes. Well, some hoarders aren't even able to sleep in their own beds. And I've actually had patients that have had this problem. They can't sleep in their beds because their beds and their whole bedroom has been overrun with stuff. And all surfaces, all the stairways and countertops, everything, and sometimes even their cars become piled up with stuff. They have difficulty discarding these things, and they become upset when somebody wants to help them to get rid of this stuff. They feel safer when and more secure when they're surrounded by all their stuff. I keep using that word stuff because we're going to talk about scripture about that. It's usually associated with other disorders, psychological problems such as depression, anxiety, OCD, ADHD. It's different than collecting, because people who collect things usually organize them. Even though they have a lot of things, they have them organized, and they're not a problem to them. And the people that collect things, the things that they have are actually have some value or some potential value. However, the hoarders, their stuff is detrimental to them. It becomes a health hazard, a fire hazard, and a fall hazard. I had a patient that had this hoarding disorder. I wasn't even aware of it until their house burned down. And the woman that lived there, she hid among the stuff. When she saw the fire, she crawled into a pile of clothes. And so when the firemen came in to try to rescue her, she was hiding among the stuff. Mm-hmm. And so she burned up with the house. But what does all this have to do with us spiritually? I'm not just telling you this so I can give you a test later. Satan desires that we become so attached to the things of this world that we're not willing to let them go. He wants us to feel comfortable and to feel safe with all those things that we accumulate, physically and spiritually. If we become spiritual hoarders, then we begin to esteem earthly things of greater value than spiritual things, and we don't want to let them go. But that would be a problem if the trumpet were to sound, because you're too busy hanging on to your stuff. So But what about now? Those things that we accumulate by spiritual hoarding began to affect us spiritually. It affects our walk and put us at risk for stumbling and falling. So what kind of things are we talking about here? Well, Satan desires that we live in the past and that we cling to our old ways. We become a new creation, but we want to live like the old creation. We don't want to let go of some of our old habits. We want to cling to our self-works, our accomplishments, our self-righteousness. But what does the Bible say about self-righteousness? Isaiah 64:6 says that those things are only garbage in God's eyes. What's it say? That our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we need to count all these things that we've accumulated as dung or refuse so that we'll take them out. We'll take out the trash. And this is what the Apostle Paul did after he came face to face with Jesus in a vision on the road to Damascus. In Philippians 3:4-6, I'm not going to read this, but Paul lists some of the things that he once considered valuable and worth keeping, worth clinging to. And the things that he had been clinging to included his Jewish pedigree, his religious accomplishments, his zeal, his self-works, his boasting in his self-righteousness, because he was trying to keep the law for self-righteousness, trying to keep the law as a Pharisee, and he was boasting in that. But he was clinging to that. But after he encountered the risen Christ in his vision that day, his blinded spiritual eyes were open, and he saw that these things were only refuse, that they were, and he counted them as dung. And he knew that he had to get rid of them. He had become a spiritual hoarder to the things that God detests, the things that God counts as filthy rags, the things that we boast in, the things that we are proud of. In fact, pride itself is one of the things we cling to. Everybody wants to have something to be proud of. But Paul found out that he was literally strangulating himself with this garbage. But by faith, he was able to count all these religious things that he had collected as dung. Can we do that? Do you get upset when somebody tries to help you get rid of these things? Do you get upset when the Holy Spirit tries to convict you of these things? Then you may be a spiritual hoarder. Not only are these things of no value, but they're also detrimental and harmful to the new man, our new creation life. So the old Saul, before he was converted, was pleased to dwell among his stuff. He was happy with those things. He boasted in those things. But then, when he became a new creation, when he saw the light of Jesus Christ face to face, he was able to smell the stench of the garbage. And he was able to take out the trash. But that's what it takes. The Lord has to reveal to us in our hearts the things in our life that we've been accumulating and not letting go since we became a new creation. We can't live according to the way that we lived as before we were born again. But the old creation and Satan wants us to continue clinging onto the stuff. Now, in 1 Samuel 10, we find another example of a man named Saul. And he apparently collected stuff of no value. We don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that that's what happened. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 10 just tells us that Samuel had anointed Saul to be king over Israel. But later in that same chapter, when Samuel called all the people together to Mizpah to present Saul as king, Saul couldn't be found. Where was he? They looked around. They couldn't find him. So they sought the Lord to find out where he was. Well, verses 21 and 22 of 1 Samuel 10 state, when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Well, King Saul wasn't a man after God's own heart like David was. And so he never got rid of his stuff. He clung to his stuff. He was proud of himself. And so since Saul wasn't obedient to God's word, God later rejected him as being king and gave the kingdom over to David. Well, we need to rid ourselves of the stuff instead of hiding among it. It's impossible to do God's will if we are hiding among our stuff. The stuff of this world will choke the new man so that he becomes unfruitful. And we see this in the parable of the sower that Jesus gives in Mark 4, 3 through 20. I'm sure you're familiar with that parable. The sower was sowing the seed, which was the word of God. And then in verse 7, it states that some of the seed fell among thorns. And quote, the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Well, then the interpretation of this parable is given in verses 18 and 19, and that says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word. And what happens? It becomes unfruitful. Now, all of us get concerned about the cares of this world. We have things that we have to think about every day. Our jobs, our family, and the whatever you hear on the newscast. And if you allow those things to accumulate and not give them over to the Lord, then they will choke you and keep you from being fruitful. There's what did he say? It said the cares of the world, the riches, and the lust of things. People want new houses. They're worried about the rising interest rates because they want to go out and buy new stuff. They're not satisfied with what they have. They always want more, and they're trying to please the old man in us. Talking about Christians here, the old man wants to hoard and cling to all of these things, these worthless items that are worthless to us spiritually. All they do is make us ill spiritually and keep the new man from being fruitful. The old man wants to hoard and cling to all of these things and not let go of them. We become spiritual hoarders when we yield to the desires of our flesh. You ever watch a TV commercial and they show this new car or something and you think, well, I really need that. I really would like to have that. Mine's getting too many miles on it, and I think I might want to invest in something new. Well, anyway, if all these things then take over, they just take over our life so that we don't have time to even read the Word of God and to meditate upon it. We're too concerned about our stuff. People worry about the stock market. Why? Because they're worried about their stuff. Instead of trusting the Lord with the things that He has trusted us with. We have to give our stuff to the Lord and cast our cares upon Him. And that's found in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. So, what does He mean by all our cares? Is it just the prayer requests that we give here? The problems we have with illness and all that? No, it's more than that. It includes all the problems in our life that we have tried to take care of ourselves instead of casting them on the Lord. When we spend our time and energy trying to solve our own problems and to try to solve the problems of the world and to donate money to this cause and for that cause, and then it consumes all your time and you have no time for the Word of God. That's why it's important we take time out and we come to fellowship meetings that we can take in the Word of God and not just take it in but to meditate upon it so that we can become fruitful, so that we can bear the fruit and we can get those thorns. Well, the thorns speak of the old creation. We need to cast out the thorns by casting all these problems upon the Lord. So what's the cure for spiritual hoarding? Well, that's found in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, which says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." So the only way to stop setting our affection on stuff, the things of this world, is by setting our affection on Christ and heavenly things. If our affections are on heavenly things, the things of this world will lose their value. And we won't get upset about casting them in the garbage. The earthly things only weigh us down and keep us from running the race. That's what Paul told us in Hebrews 12:1. He said, "Lay aside every weight." All the things weigh us down. Cast aside every weight. You have a problem with your health? You have a problem with your finances? You have a problem with whatever you have a problem with? Give it to the Lord. Don't let that problem weigh you down so that you're more concerned about it than you are God, that you have no time for God's word. Don't let your stuff keep you from running to win the prize. It's time to take out the trash.
And most assuredly, Christ has to take that first place in our lives, and it can and must be done. All right, we have another special now, Brother Ray Quintana. He wrote this song, and heard it several years ago, and loved the beauty of it.
The title of this song is The Marriage of the Lamb. It's kind of my description of what it could be, and hopefully it will be soon.
Mm-hmm.
Lord is upon us when the trump of God will sound. The splendor of the Lamb in righteousness divine. His delight is in his bride as she's prepared herself to reign. In frankincense and myrrh, she's withstood the fiery trial. She's clothed in fine linen, the righteous acts of saints. The race is now complete when the bridegroom will be won. No sorrows, tears, or cares of a world she's left behind. And as the sun appears, she'll shine in heaven's light. She's in a city up on high, the bride in purest light. She glows with dove-lit eyes as she stands before the light. In the twinkle of an eye, in glory transformed, because the mighty name of Jesus has been her sovereign crown. He's saluted by the thousands as they stand to cheer and shout. Give praise to the bridegroom for the marriage of the Lamb. All heaven stands to greet them as the Lamb takes his throne in the city of the King for eternity to come. His name is Holy Ointment, poured forth for all redeemed. The fragrant sacrifice, an offering for all sin. The Lord is upon his throne, he's high and lifted up. All heavens in praise as the bride takes her rightful place. She's in the city up on high, the bride in purest light. She glows with dove-lit eyes as she stands before the light. In the twinkle of an eye, in glory transformed, cause the mighty name of Jesus has been her sovereign crown. She's in the city up on high, bright in purest light. She glows with dove-lit eyes as she stands before the light. In the twinkle of an eye, in glory transformed, cause the mighty name of Jesus has been her sovereign crown. Jesus is her sovereign cry. Jesus is her sovereign cry. Jesus is her sovereign cry.
He's going to do it solo, but that's quite an accompaniment. Yeah. All right, we have another speaker now. You just don't know who it is yet. Brother Kevin, if you would come. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to give thanks unto the Lord. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me, I got to put my reading glasses on, a sign I'm getting old. So thankful to be invited here. We had quite an event that happened yesterday. A car almost hit us head on coming out here, and we missed it and honked at her and everything. And thank God there was kind words yelled out the window. No, I'm joking. But anyway, it was just the Lord that saved us and spared us. But he is faithful. So if you'll take your Bibles to Mark 5:26. Right now, this is probably one of the most talked about sermons in the Bible. This, and if you've noticed, a lot of people are talking about Goliath the last couple of months. Actually, the last couple of years. But this is on a Christian movie, kind of a TV thing, called The Chosen. I don't know if somebody has seen it. And a lot of people hate it. They think we're wrong for watching it. When I watch the movie The Chosen, I start crying. So anything good that can make me cry is worthwhile, I think. And we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're not showing what we've been taught, but thank God they say thousands of kids are getting saved every month through that thing. And it is precious. If you've never seen it, watch it. It'll bless you. So on 5:26, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had had and was nothing bettered but grew worse. This is one of the shortest stories of the greatest miracles in the Bible. The sickness is, my wife told me when the Lord brought a certain trial in my life 6 years ago, this was the scripture that she wrote, John 11:4, and she quoted this for me. This sickness that's in my health is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. And I felt like such a hypocrite sometimes the last 6 years, because I tell people to trust Jesus for healing, and here I was taking pills to try to help me to sleep, and they weren't working. And it got so bad that three different doctors from three different hospitals told me not to come back. They said, we can't put you to sleep. I could take a handful of Ambien and not even bother me. And I said, Lord, what is this? Why is this trial? And it's still going on to this day, but I'm trusting the Lord for it. And thank God I'm down to only taking half a pill a day, and the Lord told me he's going to deliver me from the rest of that. But my wife kept encouraging my heart. We'd wake up early in the morning, and I'd be weeping because I couldn't sleep at all. And my wife would start crying out to Jesus and praising the Lord for me. And there was a Christian song that I can't remember the name of the band, but honey, what was the name of the song? Oh, you forgot. See, that shows we're getting old. Okay. Yeah, well, anyway, I played it, and it was kind of like my story. But the Lord knows. My health kept getting worse and worse. And you know what? The Lord keeps, and he's not getting better. My just comprehension of him is getting better. See, praise the Lord. And it got worse and worse. And just this last couple of months, certain things on me have been getting better because the Lord has anointed me and called me to go to a youth prison, which I'd never been to before, just for the youth, and talk about people that are trying. Have you ever tried to give a Bible study while two guys are beating their heads in right next to you on the couch? It's pretty hard, but you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. And the Lord is wonderful. My wife took a stand with me when she'd seen me going through this trial. She goes, well, honey, trust the Lord. The Lord is faithful, and I know he's faithful. I've seen so many miracles in my life, and I'm so grateful that he is faithful, even though I abide not faithful. But I want to be ready to win the Lord Jesus Christ. I would quote verses all the time to my heart. One good thing about getting up early every morning, you have time to pray for everybody. And that's precious too. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. And the Lord answered and told me that he was going to have his way in my life because I wanted God's best. And I pressed towards that mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. There's three or four sisters in this meeting here that encouraged my heart to trust the Lord and not pills. Kara, Sarah, and Lynn, she's in our meeting, but she always would quote scriptures to me. When I get down, Lynn would encourage me in the Word of God. And there would have been a time of, had I met Lynn out in the world, we probably would have smoked dope together. Yeah, we would have. I know she was a party girl. And I was a party guy. You can tell that. Oh, and that the scripture I'm going to read, Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things, whatever is true, whatever is honest, what is ever just, what is ever pure, whatever is lovely, of a good report. Think upon these things. Don't think about yourself and feel sorry for yourself. I always say, oh, poor baby. Lord, how can you even stomach me? I'm such a complainer. But you know what? The Lord's changing all that. I want to rejoice in Jesus. I don't want to complain about how bad I feel. It's bad enough looking like I do, let alone the way I feel. But the Lord is faithful. Yesterday was a good day. Whenever I go onto an airplane, somebody gets closer to the Lord. Like I've said before, they all say, oh God, I hope he don't sit next to me. And I noticed I had to go to the potty, the little boys' room yesterday. When I got up to go in there, everybody was watching to see if I could fit. Boy, the Lord's got, he's wonderful, isn't he? In 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning this fiery trial to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice in Jesus, precious hearts. We want to rejoice. We are partakers of Christ's suffering. And the young people that I'm working with, a miracle has been happening every week now. Every time I usually go to the prison, somebody gets saved and filled. And it's so wonderful. It has nothing to do with me. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. Last week, a young boy had wanted to get filled, but he never would pray. And they moved him to a new prison out of state. And he did something bad to come back to my prison. And he was sitting on the couch and he started crying. And I prayed with him to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And the next day, they told me that he was under a suicide watch. That's how hard the enemy fights. He gets filled one day and the next day he wants to kill himself. And then he came to class and we prayed. And then after that, he wanted to kill somebody else. That's, boy, I'll tell you, you know, our young people need prayer. I said, Lord, just help me be strong for the young people. Help them see Christ in me. That's what we need to do, precious hearts. We need to have a Cane Ridge revival when we're around people so people can hear about Jesus. We need to hear the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out again. What was it, Brother Hawkins? No, not Pentecost. I'll think of it in a second. Azusa Street Revival. We need to have Azusa Street Revival. The other day when I was getting ready to leave, some of the volunteer staff members came down and said, we want to hear about being in the Bride of Christ. Been handing out tracts from Brother Hawkins, sent me some tracts on some stuff. Their lives are changing. And now they want the young people to come to my class instead of go. They have to take a nap in the afternoon for a half an hour. And instead of going in there, they're telling whoever wants to come to Brother Kevin's class, let them go. And people are walking by, and I've got kids from 10 to 20 years old. And at one class, I had six young people who had murdered their families. And these young boys are being raped like there's no tomorrow. And I said, Lord, how can this be? Well, look at the age we're living in. Jesus is coming. But this precious sister in this story, she gave up all she had to try to win and have healing. And I don't blame her. I know a lot of Christians say, well, wouldn't you want to be healed? I'd be a liar if I said, oh, no, it feels good to suffer for Jesus. I'd like to be healed, but the Lord knows. All things work together for good to them that love God, precious hearts. So, Lord, allow these infirmities in my life to get me to be humble. I hear another people all the time saying, oh, humble me, humble me. No, that's not what the scripture says. The Bible says, humble yourself underneath the mighty hand of God, that in due time you may be exalted. So, and I said, Lord, I don't want you. I tell the young people, they start laughing. I said, the Lord had to see me with a pair of magnifying glasses on. I was so proud. And I don't want to be proud. I want to be thankful for Jesus. So I'm just encouraging, if there's somebody here that's never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you've never surrendered, and that was me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to surrender all. So when I wake up and early in the morning, I'm rejoicing and thankful to Jesus for it, because somebody needs to be prayed for that time. So bless the Lord, precious hearts. He giveth power to the faint and those that are weak. I want to be weak. The Lord has got a good sense of humor. There's a man in Denver who is the strongest man in Colorado. His name is Stephen Ponzi. He grew up around Brother Hill's sons. And this man
still holds all the state records, and we've come running into one another. And he's very, very proud to this day, but he does love Jesus. Now, whenever we're in a restaurant having a Bible study, when I'm ready to say goodbye to him, I reach around and get him in a headlock, and I kiss him on top of the head and tell him I love him. And you talk about breaking a guy's spirit. That guy, he doesn't know what to do. And he's even telling me he loves me now. And people look at us, he's about 250 pounds. Not very tall, only about 5'8", but you know something? God can break down. He can break that down in our lives. And I want to win Jesus with all my heart. Praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. I keep thinking about how much time I got, but I won't keep you but another couple seconds. But I just want to encourage, if there's somebody in here that's never been filled, how long would you put it off for? I was noticing the different cities when we were coming in here. And Brother Hill, I was out here one time with him, and he was telling me about what each city was. There's Weston, there's Platteville, all these things. And I thought, this is such a God-blessed part of the country. I don't like the term, I know the truth, because the Word of God is truth. Yeah, we know what we mean when we say, I love the truth. But thank God, we need to share this with people. Everywhere we go, yesterday, the guy on the plane looking, he was sitting there trying not to notice how big my feet were. And I was sitting there, and you know something? Before the end of the plane ride, I got to witness to him, and it didn't stick, because he didn't get saved. I get really offended when people don't want to get saved. I take it personally. And when they get filled, I take that personally too. So by the end of the plane thing, he listened to me, and I told him, I said, that'll be your, I said, Jesus is dealing with you. And he goes, well, I'll think about what you had to say. So we need to share the gospel with everybody, precious hearts. But so I'm thankful that God gave me a precious wife that would encourage me. Just keep trusting the Lord, honey. And I even had a dream that I was going to sleep good one time. And I woke up and got all excited and almost fell off the bed. Being a giant is not easy, but I want to be a giant for Jesus Christ. So I love you guys. You're precious. And we're so happy to be here, precious hearts. Praise the Lord. We love you so much. He is so faithful and so wonderful. What?
The song was
Even If by Mercy Me. Yeah, it was wonderful. Even if the Lord didn't heal me, I would still love him and still praise him. And if you've seen that Chosen, as I'm living, there was a story, the part about James, little James asking Jesus why the Lord wouldn't heal him. Did you see that? That was wonderful. And the Lord told him why. He says, you will be healed. And I know I will be healed. I'll get a glorified body. And I always tell the Lord, I want arches this time in my feet and no stretch marks. So I love you guys.
We can only imagine what that glorified state will be, but we know that God always does all things well, and we rejoice in Him for that. Why don't we stand and just, we won't take a break, but let's just stand up and stretch out a little while. We have one more speaker to go.